What does Australia's next generation of young leaders have to say about the future of India-Australia relations in a post-COVID world? And how do Indian scholars, scientists, practitioners, and students factor in? You're listening to Shared Visions, the podcast that spotlights the Australian government's new Colombo plan and gets to the heart of these questions. Today, we have a very special conversation between honors student Josh Cook in politics, policy, and marketing with Amia Singh, an academic and the Dean of Education, Social Innovation, and Rural Development at the Centurion University of Technology and Management in Orissa.
Yeah, my name's Josh. I have studied at Deakin and graduated from a Bachelor of Commerce and Arts. And I came onto the NCP program program, the Centurion Challenges program, that was promoted through my university at Deakin, and it was just an opportunity to go and basically apply what you'd been learning at university into, you know, an international sort of challenge program that was based in India. So I did a rebranding of spice and bread products at the Urban Micro Business Center, which is affiliated with Centurion University. Centurion is where Amir is at the moment, I imagine. And they just hosted us and treated us really well. And we just had a, you know, fantastic experience over about a month. And you know, learnt a lot from it. It was incredibly valuable. Now I'm just looking at, looking for work. It's challenging in these circumstances.
I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Amir Singh. I work as a Dean of Skill Integration at Centurion University of Technology Management and in Odisha. And I'm really fortunate to be a part of the student exchange administration and managing at Centurion University, where we have to deal with structuring of the programs and implementing and how to extending the plans and all these things with different students from different universities across the world. And in fact, NCP has been quite an experience, because we are getting regular students from different universities in Australia in different fields. And apart from this, I'm quite engaged in the field of social entrepreneurship, innovations, and youth development as far as skills as concerns and employment. So that brings me more close to the student exchange program, where I literally have to closely observe the kind of skills they have and how they are exploring their expectations out here, and if we can be able to do justice to their expectations as a part of this program. So this is, I must say, this is a kind of both way of learning for the institute like Centurion, where we are proactively engaged with experimenting different ideas to give a beautiful experience to the visiting students, as well as for our own experience of holistic growth and upliftment to match the benchmark of the universities operating abroad. In a worldwide to keep their quality, which we somehow get a reflection through these students.
Right. So you mentioned you work in kind of the social entrepreneurship, like social innovation space as well, right, Amia? So I'm guessing you work on a lot of local projects that are based on, you know, local communities and social entrepreneurship as it affects, the people directly around you. So how can you tell me a little bit about what that experience has been like integrating Australian or, you know, students from outside India? Like, why do you think it's important to incorporate students from all around the world into these very local projects? Or if you could talk a little bit about the projects themselves, that would be great too.
Yeah, so basically, maybe the plus point of this NCP has been quite eye-opening for many of our visiting students is because of a grounded experience that usually many higher education institutes as our responsibility to the community, we somehow miss with the so-called growth, intellectual growth of our ambition, but somehow we miss that grounded things as our responsibility to our community. But I find working here at Centurion for almost around 10 years, I find that at Centurion, we could be able to restore that ethics, that working with very indigenous people for their upliftment, tribal people, for the slum people, how can we ensure an inclusive growth and those projects that we get external funding or our internal funding or whatever kind of things, how we should not hire people from outside to do the project as a consultant or whatever. How we can engage our own team, who are whether it is a professor, whether it is our own student, whether it is anything that is home, so that it will also be a part of their own learning. For example, just to give an example where Josh and the team has been engaged, it is actually a slum area. It is a kind of urban slum. So usually,
where is this?
It is in Bhubaneswar.
Bhubaneswar. Okay.
Yeah. So basically, usually we have a belief that poverty only exists in the rural community, but it is not. Mm. Also, there is a if you know India, then there are many parts even in the modest urban community, there is a large section of the slum and all these things.
True.
And there is such a boundary and such an abrupt change in the economy and poverty you find. I mean, the non-distribution of wealth. So that project is a joint initiative that we started 5 years back with the state government and with the Century and the central government, where how can we empower the women in those locality, in those homes, so that the violence, the domestic violence, the indiscipline activities going on in that area, just because they don't have money, so that can be stopped. Bringing any social change takes time. It is a kind of organic way. It is not any artificial. You press the button and it happens overnight. I will not say that we have achieved so many things, but yes, it has been slowly improving. Where we have set up a center close by to that, those women are coming. And we are teaching them some kind of skills of bread, a bakery, of whether it is garment making, whether it is fast. I mean any kind of food grade, basically. And we are collecting the millets and other kind of thing from the tribal coffee, from the tribal area. We are bringing them, and these slum people are making that. So connecting the dots, that is connecting the dots in need. That is more important at this point. So in
absolutely.
Fact. Josh and have been engaged in a project where how to improvise the branding of those products those women make. So they got an opportunity to interact with those women, what they are doing, and those localities where these products are sold. And they interacted with them to get a ground reality of how people perceive that thing. And this is only one of the projects that I am discussing, because Josh and team has been engaged in there.
Right.
And I think Josh can tell much better what are the improvement he can feel in himself. I mean, that's, I think he can explain better.
Yeah. I was just gonna ask you, Josh. I mean, like, it sounds like you were kind of immersed headfirst into this project where you were working with a local community, and especially in this marketing and branding sort of approach, which I feel like is quite. It's uncommon to find students from another country coming and participating and giving their input in this space. So yeah, just tell me a little bit about how that experience was and kind of what your takeaways were.
Yeah, sure. I guess, as you say, it was very much in the deep end. It was a bit of a shock to begin with, but there was tremendous learning to come out of it. Along the whole time, Centurion was, and all the staff that work for Centurion was always a fantastic support, for the students coming into the program. But in terms of, what we actually did, there was a huge amount of learning involved just by interacting with the community and taking on the task of, improving the branding and packaging. I think in terms of the program for the us Australians being the international students coming into India was less about, being effective, but more or less working through the process and the takeaways from that. I think for me, just from a marketing perspective, the greatest takeaway was having to unlearn all of the cultural assumptions that I had about, about marketing and having to relearn a totally new one, in India and what it meant to be effective in marketing in the Indian context. But in that process as well, it was incredibly valuable to learn about, the Indian culture, the Indian community, the challenges that are faced by, say, communities in Bhubaneswar that Amir touched on, about empowering women and, trying to promote a sense of entrepreneurship and stuff like that, which I think is more or less, a challenge. In my project, we learned that just for branding spice and bread products that were locally made, there were, significant players in the market that were more, dominant on a national scale, which was kind of, in a way, counterproductive to, advancing, say, the, not just the, the production and success of selling bread and spice products, but of the urban micro business center, but also the social, advancing those social sort of objectives that were there as well. So I think that, as we came along, as we sort of got to the end of the project, overall, what we sort of identified was really just trying to better communicate that sense of story in what the Urban Micro Business Center was doing for the products, so that the consumers were more conscious of the social impact that they were trying to achieve. Not only that, but the products themselves were of exceptional quality by comparison to their competitors, and then that they were locally made. So really the main objective there was just to communicate all of those key pillars as points of differentiation from the well-known brands, to try and promote the sales of and what is locally made, but then ultimately that has other flow effects by increasing sales, because as from what I understand, spice and bread production wasn't even at capacity from what they could have been at. And so when you've got an increase of sales and financial support, that particular institution is able to better support this sort of the main social objectives that it's really there for in that sense.
Especially thinking about like a local ecosystem, in terms of supporting a local ecosystem versus supporting a large brand or a recognizable company. I think India has kind of had a complicated relationship with brands in that sense, because there is a lot of brands that we just consider to be, sort of staple household names, and getting people to deviate from those and actually, understand the value of a local business, it's actually much harder than we think it is. So
absolutely,
I think it's a bit of an uphill battle, but it's I think there's a lot of there's a lot of room for growth in that space.
Absolutely.
I guess. Yeah.
Another challenge there, I think, was just the limited resources that, institutions like the Urban Micro Business Center has. It does stand in the way, and that is a challenge. So you have to question, at what point does, government assistance sort of play a role in that? As Amir sort of mentioned, that the UMBC, Urban Micro Business Center, is associated with the local government and Centurion, in that way. So there is an established relationship there, but there was just challenges about resources in order to, I suppose, lift it and take it above another level of success.
thank you guys for your insight on these projects that you were working together on. And I guess I kind of want to tie it a little bit to the current climate that we find ourselves in and sort of Indo-Australian relations, because, you know, both of you had some pretty interesting things to say in this space. And I especially found it fascinating how, you know, both of you mentioned that, you know, these establishing and strengthening these relationships between India and Australia, they're so important today more than ever. But for me, I find it an interesting conversation, because we see the world kind of turning inwards politically. We see the world turning inwards in terms of resources, in terms of sharing resources, especially when you talk about COVID and things about medication and resources and the vaccine and everything. There's, I think, a lot of it's a difficult conversation, because I feel like a lot of the time it seems that as though borders are kind of closing in. So as contrary to that, it sounds like a lot of the people that I've been talking to through the New Colombo Plan program are pretty optimistic about, you know, a fruitful relationship between India and Australia. So I just wanted to hear both of your guys' thoughts on how this space and how these relationships strengthening looks like for you in your respective fields.
This has been, I mean, unexpected situation for many of us, maybe for the first time for many generations that we have. And, and I must say, for me, who, I mean, being a young guy, and I feel this is, as much it has for negative thing it has given us, it has taken to insecurities in many sense, but it was, it has also brought us, I personally see it in many positive way, in the sense that it has helped us to take a pause from everything that we are doing in a, you know, in a robotic way throughout our life, and truly, actually reconfigure and reset what is the priorities of life. I suddenly see every day, I now, because I am involved in agriculture and all, now I every day I get some call from my friends, hey, I have lost my job and I have this much of money, can you just suggest me what I can do so that I can help these farmers as well as I can get. So people have started thinking this way, and that's a good sign, and it was never happening before, and no other way was there to motivate even people, that the, you know, the youth to take charge of, you know, this ground level initiatives, which are, which actually make a country's prosperity more vibrant, you know, this food production, healthy foods, and, you know, a strong community. Today
you start from the grassroots.
Yeah, start from the grassroots. I mean, yeah. I mean, today you start, see, we all are, even there is another side, you might have seen that people, loneliness has been, I mean, has been a big stress on people than the pandemic.
Right.
So, because somehow this community cohesion is missing nowadays. This pandemic has brought, when we in trouble, we start communicating. That's the nature of the human. Mm-hmm. When crisis comes, we communicate. So that is a good part, that it has brought people together, and as well as the priorities. And moreover, I will not say country-wise, the whole world has tried to perform as a single community.
Yeah, of course. Well, I think the initial reaction, right, was very much that what you were speaking about before is that sense of protectionism and border and, you know, countries moving inwards. I think looking forward, that initial reaction isn't really indicative of what we can expect. Ultimately, it's just trying to collaborate and to have a sense of to drive success. I don't think that, you know, it's optimized by doing it on your own, if that makes sense. I guess the NCP comes really in handy in all of it, because it really promotes that that sense of openness, connectedness, you know, where Australia is, you know, reaching out to the Indo-Pacific and saying, hey, you know, this is what we have to offer. We can see opportunities in your areas as well. You know, we've got a sense of shared values, and we can appreciate, you know, the differences, say, in our cultures and that sort of thing. And so we want to try and strengthen that. I think that from the outset of the New Colombo Plan, the New Colombo Plan sort of saw the Indo-Pacific as really the, you know, a significant, the turning point, or if not going to be a significant area of the world where, you know, a lot happens, you know, where prosperity is driven, where, you know, just prosperity, I guess, on all different kinds of fronts, just to keep it general. And so, mm-hmm. you know, I guess at the turn of COVID, right, a lot of that sense of globalization and cooperation was sort of snuffed out. But I think mm-hmm. that as we're sort of moving forward, there will be a growing need to sort of find a balance between that sense of sharing, but it might look a little bit different than what we initially envisaged. I don't know if right. COVID is necessarily going away anytime soon. Definitely we keep not. Hearing, yeah, we keep hearing here in Australia that, a vaccine is on the horizon, but then there's other, you know, talks saying, well, it's not necessarily guaranteed. So I think it will more or less become a situation of learning to live with COVID. And then we'll have mm-hmm. to think about how do we, you know, take this vision of the Indo-Pacific that we all want for each other, and try to, you know, adapt and work towards that within the limitations that we, you know, that we face at the moment. So I think that the New Colombo Plan really sets the vision, it sets the objective, it sets the goals. It's very positive, and it's very much a two-way street in that sense between mm-hmm. Australia and, you know, its international community in the Indo-Pacific. And so I guess COVID as of this year has really changed the way we might, you know, approach that. So, you know, I guess the discussion really from there is, you know, how are you sort of going to be successful within those limitations?
Right, right. Yeah, thank you for that. I think that makes a lot of sense. And just to wrap it up, I guess I wanted to ask you as well, Amia, just if what your kind of key takeaway was from having the NCP program participate in these local projects and you working directly with Josh and other students like himself, just a little bit about what your experience was like and why you would maybe recommend other, you know, practitioners and scholars and people in this space just as yourself, like why you would maybe recommend this program to other people who are interested in sort of this cultural exchange.
Yeah, so that's a very important question. In fact, besides NCP, in fact, I have been also a fellow to similar kind of program to the US and other countries.
Okay.
So I think
like students from those countries came to India?
No. I have been a participant. It was a professional fellowship, but it was more of kind of cultural exchange to learn.
Okay.
So understood. I think I can answer this question both from a mentor perspective as well from being a student's perspective, because I have been a participant also in such a program. So you have opportunity to explore, as I mentioned, the ground realities of the culture, the living of the people and the community and their livelihood and what's happening in the other country on a ground level. Usually, if you go as a tourist, you will be exposed to only some part of it, which will not show you the ground realities where I think your learning will be the same way as you will see in a internet or you just search in the internet and if you Google.
Correct.
But right. Once you closely interact with the culture, sometimes it may be shocking to you because your culture, there is a huge gap. So if I have been to the Middle East in countries like Iran and Afghanistan, people say the same thing. Okay, there is like they are like there is the other plateau. That is some other planet. You know, people have some that kind of perception. But when I as a participant went to such countries, for some kind of work, then I could feel that how the culture is so much accepting, and really it had made me as a participant have become a better human being, which I am carrying with me till now. Even that 1 month of program has been over since 10 years back. So that is more important. What experience you take, and if that experience is shocking you, then it is good. because you will never forget. Right. But if it is normal experience, then you may forget just like anything else. If you really devote yourself completely, after you end from here, as again, repeating Joe's line that he mentioned, that the so much of unlearning, so much of unlearning things did, and then the relearning happened. So those are, I think, a major objective of both the countries, that how our cultures can empower ourselves rather than restrict ourselves.